We're waiting for the PowerPoint to come on because my class has students come from all walks of life and different countries. So every time I start my class, I warn them. I say, you got to put up with my Oxford accent and to begin with. So with this in mind, so I start. I've been teaching this class for the last 19 years up to north to the Arctic. The objective of the class is to study the cryogenic nature of permafrost affected soils and also study soil formation factors in the northern ecosystems and looking into the wetland soil properties and the land use interpretations and the last hands-on experiences. Everybody got to dig and got to feel. So the class take a trip from Fairbanks in the middle of Alaska to all the way north to the Arctic Ocean in Prudhoe Bay. So this is where we traverse. The whole distance is 500 miles. And we start a class from Fairbanks that's situated in a boreal forest and underlined by discontinuous permafrost. So there we look at the effect of slope and aspect on permafrost distribution and the soil types. Also, first day we give a couple of lectures to introduce what is the soils and then take the students, participants, to what is called a permafrost tunnel. A tunnel was dug in the 50s as a test pit, whatever the reason, but eventually become a research and a teaching instrument. So here you see the entrance and go into the tunnel. And on the wall of the tunnel, you see the ice formation. And here is the ice wedge. So literally, you see the permafrost from underneath the ground also later on from the surface. So this diagram from the NRCS soil survey report showing on the south facing slope is warm and dry. But the north facing slope is wet and cold, so it's a permafrost. Then in the lowland, the permafrost developed, so the soil series for the different segment of the landscape. Thinking in a circumpolar area, the solar radiation comes this angle. So the south facing slope in the summer almost got sunlight perpendicular. But coming this way, it received very little sunlight. That's why the aspect makes so much difference. I always started digging from the warm south-facing slopes. That's easy digging and a good start. So here the last deposit, very deep, because it's dry, so there's very little horizon development and the white spruce. So it's a good incept zone. Then we go to north-facing slope under the black spruce, sigmoss layer. You can see the soil, the permafrost somewhere here, under the thick organic layer. Here the water table perches, give this iron crust here. So hydric soil, no problem. Then go to the lowland, in the bottomland, always look at the muskegs or bugs. So the deep organic deposit. So we use this separate auger to drill the core to extract the samples. You can see the woody segments and the branches and the barks mixed with humified material. Then we're first heading north to the interior Alaska, which is the fire ecology, because in the interior Alaska, the fire cycle ranges from anywhere 35 years to 130 years, it got burned over. And this year, Alaska burned 6 million acres. I remember that's bigger than the state of Massachusetts. Normal years, about 1 million acres. So right after the fire, next year, the fireweeds dominate landscape. So they call it fireweeds. Here is the skin of sphagnum moss, it's so wet. So he escaped the fire, become a dry like blanket left behind. Going further north, we'll cross the Arctic Circle. and always a group picture taken here. We got students from India, from China, and it's from Taiwan. I think it's from Sweden, and okay, from Germany and Canada. So we got people from all over the place. So North Arctic Circle still got a boreal forest, and this area we visit every year. In the 90s, this organic matter is saturated wet, and the soil is very gray. But in the 2000s, later on, it started drying. We see the organic matter drying off, the less reduced the color. So, or we have a heterotrophial or haplotrophial. It depends whether we have redox morphic features or not. In the interior, close to the Brooks Range in the foothills, we got a big calcareous fan because this is a marble limestone deposit. So a lot of carbonate-rich material. Coming here, we got a frost boil, basically the ice raised up and the boil eventually collapsed, become this. But this whole wetland system is very interesting because looking at the soils, we got a marl formation deposit on top and here. But here we got a pyrite formation, iron sulfide. And in the surface, you know, you can see those oil sheen indication of ferrous iron and probably ferric hydride. So this is about pH 8.2, and very interesting. Going to the foothills of the Brooks Range, here's what we call earth hummock. In the center is somewhat well-drained, with a bright color, but some down here you see the reduced color, grain. But in a low spot, the organic matter accumulate, so the frost table are higher, so it's insulated. Then we dig into the lower part, see the cryogenic structure, segregated ice and mineral soil, some organics. Here the cryotabated organic matter, they all mixed in these areas. So once we go over the Brooks Range, called the Attican Pass, its elevation of 1447 meters. But here we see the Alaska pipeline there underneath. Here the pipes are thermal siphons to keep the ground cool, cold. And on this we see periglacial features called a sorted circle, a freeze thaw squeeze all the rock fragments. Like a rock rain kind of arrangement. Then going over the pass, here's the gateway to the North Slope. Heading north, this is mid of July, very nice. The pipeline going underneath the riverbed below. So this is what they call the Arctic tundra, basically treeless like this. Most of the irrigation are shrubs and sedges. And at Brooks Range, we're looking south with the Alpine glaciers receding in the last 20 years, about 15%. So here's the typical Tuscan tundra over the Arctic foothills. We see the sedge areophryne tussocks and blue color, the blueberry changing colors in middle August, and willows, moss in this low spot. So everybody got to experience the jackhammer to a two-cycle engine to dig the permafrost, got experience. This lady from India couldn't get the hammer to anybody else, which she just keep a drill. So what we find out is, we hit the ground ice, massive ice. Here, again, organic matter, soil, segregated ice. And we clean the surface of the frost table. Here you can see the cryotabation move the organic from surface down until here, mixed with the reduced mineral matrix. So we call it cryotabate organic matter concentrate in the upper permafrost. Here is a good example we have, we call a frost boil with less organics and the deeper organic layer, thicker organic layer, they see the solid depth here with less insulation from the organic layer, so the soil deeper of the 40, 50 centimeter. But here, organic insulate, so it's only about 25 centimeter. So basically, it's a bowl shape. So everybody got practice how you classify the soil, explaining the horizontation of the profile. So normally we see the frozen samples, whether it's called BG or CG. When we test for alpha-alpha dipyridyl, it reacts right away on a pinkish color. So we know there's iron 2 there. So the question is, how could a frozen soil, so you got iron, ferrous iron there? And Marty won't like this, I'll explain why later. So in the Arctic, the common feature is this called a non-sorted circle. Basically, we call it frost boils. On the landscape, it's repeatedly the circular mineral soil exposed among the tundra vegetation. And here's a fresh one. You see the cracked, separated vegetation from it. Here, the vegetation started invade the center. And this one, you can barely see the circular shape vegetation grown over. So what are the soil profile underneath this? So each type we see different profiles. Here, the mineral soil bust up, the vegetation just over here, later cultivation organic matter here. But in this one, organic matter massive coming down here, through here. In this one, we see the organic matter frost churning down here, oops, and all the way, no, up to here. So how do we name the horizon here? It's quite a mess. And let's show you the complexity of the cultivation caused the soil horizon formation here. So then going further north, away from the Arctic foothills, going to the Arctic coastal plain. Here from the air, you can see the landscape called frost polygon, ice wedge polygons. Here the polygon, just the center, low center, flat. Here's the trough, and here's the ridge. How was this formed? Because the ice wedge keep expanding both ways, eventually squeeze the tundra, buckled up, form a little ridge, a rim here, and the center remains flat. So basically, from the center of here to here, we have one pattern. That's called a histoterpile. A classic means the massive ground ice. Here is a histoterpile, a typical because it's rather flat. So from the trough to the rim and the center, we really have three components of the soil. But we consider from here to here, just one soil, one cycle. And on this histol also, there's no cultivation. You can see a flat organic layer on top of mineral soil. When fresh exposed, they are gray. But soon after a few minutes, you can see slightly pinkish color develop because the iron too quickly oxidized to ferrous iron. Naturally, in class, we introduced the participants of the infrastructure development, how the oil field impact the environment. Oil pipeline, they have to use this thermal siphon to keep the ground freezing to stabilize the support. Here, the oil drill pad in the Arctic coastal plain on a gravel pad to minimize the impact. And here's the road, because road dust caused the ice wedge deteriorate, eventually ice wedge melt, the ground starts sink. To show the student, here does, we do have ice wedge, so we drill the core from the ice, so everybody's happy. So here they expose the ice wedge on the side, see how big it is. And Arctic summer, weather changes from day and to next day. So general characteristics of wetland in the Arctic. Ice-cemented permafrost serves as an aqueduct, creates a saturated zone. Most upland tundra is associated with frost boil system, and a permafrost table seldom below 40 centimeters under the vegetated tundra, and 60 to 90 centimeters below center of frost boil. The reduced iron detected by alpha-alpha dipyridyl throughout the growing season in both active layer and upper permafrost. So biological activity undergoes sub-zero temperature due to unfrozen water in the frozen soil. How would the frozen soil, you got unfrozen water? So here, in the winter, the temperature below zero, we still have 8% unfrozen water in the summer of soil. The reason is because of clay minerals, because of solutes, depressive freezing. And this is the water keep the microbial activity during the winter. This is just going faster. This is showing a cryogenic structure caused by freezing thaw. And I got a real dedicated workers. This machine is 70 pounds, and she has no problem to carry the tundra. And involves camp, you know, campground, and the dinner time, and this is midnight sun showing up, and in the boreal forest camping, and you know, weather changes from day to day, and invariably we don't have a hurricane, but a lot of time we have bears and other animals counting the site. But one good thing, we have no snakes. So all the students, they get a chance to experience the global warming, and always got some crazy students jumping out of the ocean. And you happen to notice Dr. Wendorf from Louisiana. Okay. So how many students have put in one pit? So this is my associate, helped me over the years, Gary Michelson. With this, thank you very much. Yeah.